up our To The Challenge Total Madness wrap-up podcast for the premiere. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Al Escher. Allie, how are you?
When you say as always, I feel like you're jinxing me somehow, but I'm doing okay. I think, Brian, we had the most, maybe the longest conversation we've ever had before actually starting to record.
Yeah, we acted like we were friends. It was nice.
Yeah, well, I had to eat dinner, so we had to stop.
Just buying time to the chewing stopped.
Let's relax. even though it's only been one episode, I feel like the preview podcast set me up weird, where I feel like we're five episodes in somehow.
In like a good way, or like because you have a good feel for the cast already?
Well, that's never the case. I don't have big PE, BPE, I feel like, big premiere energy. Like, I feel like I have second episode energy, but I'll try to get the BPE up. It was a great episode, I thought, overall.
Yeah, it was good. It was weird that it started with the challenge. I feel like that never really happens with this show. I feel like it always is people like arriving at the house and going crazy, and then the challenge is later. So I did kind of feel a little bit off that like we're jumping into a challenge before anything got started. So that was a little odd. But yeah, I mean, it was good enough for me. I got a sense of the game. They actually laid out the rules pretty clearly for how this is going to go, which is nice. I feel like we're not, I'm sure we're jinxing this now, but it feels like there's not a lot of surprises of how bonkers the rules might get. I think we have a pretty clear idea of how the season's going to be structured.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that also. It's interesting you say we jumped into the challenge, which is weird. Like, I was also kind of thinking, maybe because we did the preview and it's been a long time since we've done a preview, like, I was trying to watch this episode, or I found myself trying to think about how would I feel if I were a new viewer coming into this. Because I do feel like coming right into the challenge, while I, as an old viewer, old-ass viewer, enjoyed going right to the challenge, I feel like if I were a newbie, I would have been like, why are we getting 30 seconds or like 5 seconds of these people and suddenly they're competing and I still don't know like who the host is?
Yeah, and even like when they introduced the people later on, I feel like they didn't even give like a lot of like backstory. I think we talked about how they usually are good with that. I feel like they actually didn't do a lot of that. They kind of just, people popped on screen and then they were like, all right, I'm here to win. Like, that was really all we got. We didn't get a lot of like their history, their connections. They kind of just, this was more of a premiere for people who watched the show.
And I definitely felt like they were setting up certain background. I agree it wasn't like super strong overall, but like, I definitely got two or three storylines that like they wanted to cover. Obviously, we'll talk about Wes and Bananas and the hookups that they were like setting up and other things they might have been making up. We'll talk about that. But like, it's almost like they were like, okay, we can't possibly get to everyone. So we're going to pick like four beats and really dig into those. Now, I went back to the streets, Brian, not literally because I haven't left my house in 100 years, but I took it back to the streets to a person that I am going to call. She didn't ask for this. She doesn't know this is happening. She probably doesn't want it. But when has that ever stopped us before?
Are we about to get a third title? A third person and having a title?
I believe we have four. I think Molly's supposed to be the fashion correspondent, but she does not check in with us. Jofo nominated himself as like historical correspondent, but that has fallen off. So
he's
got maybe
an AMA tonight. So
sorry,
he's got his AMA to worry about.
Yeah, right. So I'm nominating Nicole as our chief new viewer correspondent because I wanted to know, like, okay, you and I can speculate, which we already did, but we don't know because we're old ass viewers. What are the new people seeing? And I was pretty surprised because I think you and I were on the same page of like, this kind of seems confusing. Nicole said also, not to, you know, toot her own horn, but she said if she didn't listen to our pod, she would have been more confused, like with the Bananas and West storyline and a couple of other details about past seasons. So take that, people who say we don't prepare.
Yeah. We crushed to prepare in this game.
Okay. But she said generally it was easy to follow. She appreciates that it's not like Big Brother where they have people repeating what we were literally watching over and over. And I guess it, to MTV's credit, like they've got something good here. She said it was nice that she already had people that she cared about. So it wasn't like 20 new faces or however many people are on the show. After I brag about preparing, how many people are on?
I think 28, right? Is it 28?
But so kudos to MTV.
That is the plus of these 90-minute episodes. I know as we get on, and I'm sure this will be the case later on, there's not as much going on in the house. It'll seem more of a drag, but when there are so many people in there and there are even storylines within the week that don't really play out it like in the way that the vote goes or elimination, that you could still jump in on different people's storylines and get a clearer sense of everything going on in the house. So the 90 minutes is a big help for people like that to get a clearer sense of these people and what's going on and what may be going on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's do like a episode length watch. This felt good to me. I mean, I didn't watch live. I watched over the course of an hour because I didn't watch with commercials, but it felt like the right amount of time.
Yeah, I did. It did, especially when they start with the challenge, and then like you're done with that after the first 15 minutes, and then the elimination is until the end. So you have a good hour block plus like minus commercials over that of stuff going on in the house. There is a lot of time to get to everything that is going on.
Yeah, and especially when we were like wrongly told it was going to be like 2 hours and 15 minutes, then it was like nice. You could have given me like an hour and 45, and I would have been grateful.
Yeah, that's what they should. They should go into each season and be like, all right, get ready for a 40-episode season. And then when it's done after like 20, you're like, whew, that was a breeze.
I do want to say right off the jump here, and this is really critical. I'm ready to say this, lock this in. This is the absolute worst challenge for hair in the history of the show.
Because of being locked inside?
No, because of what's happening on top of Bear's head. What the hell is happening on top of Jordan's head? What's happening on Wes's chin? What pointiness is happening on Corey's chin? It is the worst episode for hair. Renee Lucas said, didn't Jordan win last season? Why is he cutting his own hair?
I mean, I think this is all just as a preview for the world. I feel like I don't want to make any bad comments about people's haircuts because I don't know what the heck I'm going to look like in a couple months. So I think I'm going to refrain from making jokes about that.
These are pre-corona times. There's no reason that Jordan should be cutting his own bangs.
They're staying on the ground. They're avoiding people. They're building their own society.
Showed up like that.
Yeah.
What he tweeted, y'all leave my hair alone. Lloyd set this trend and I love it. Hashtag dumber laugh cry emoji.
Oh, at least he's swerving into the curve.
We do also, we called a lot of shots in our preview podcast to toot our own horn now. We got to talk about the name. We joked about it last week. Shelby Heinmiller says, so was this season actually called Total Madness or did I hear a TJ voiceover?
So it definitely seemed like a voiceover, but there's a lot of confessionals already about the madness going on. So I feel like it was called Total Madness.
So it was 100% a voiceover. And to that, I was like, shook. I was like, somebody who works in television, we don't work in television, we're jealous haters, whatever. Somebody who knows what they're talking about needs to let us know why do they change the name after the fact? I mean, we know they did that last season. I think they did it this season because Edward Morris and somebody else also said that during one of the commercials, they said Battle for Independence. So like they didn't correct the sponsor. That is the rumored actual name of the season, and Total Madness was dubbed. And we have seen everything dub it. People have definitely talked about it, but we know that confessionals can be filmed in post very easily. Mm-hmm. So someone who knows, one, needs to tell me, even if it's not different this season, but I think it is, why they ever changed the name afterwards. And especially if it was the Battle of Independence and now it's Total Madness. How is that materially different or better? Like, what is the problem? Like, who cares? How much more important is Battle for Independence unless it was like, oh, we're going to add more Americans than Brits or it's not, or we're going to add Asaf. So like Israel doesn't really go into that. So like maybe, I don't know. I don't understand why they couldn't have just slapped Battle of Independence on this and left it.
I guess maybe they did a focus group of the marketing and then it hit well. I don't know. It's very odd. Why couldn't they just, this is free agents, so why couldn't they just do free agents too? Could have just done that to make it simple. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they're so big on like these battleground names.
It is very funny because I did go back and listen to our preview podcast earlier because as Rob Cesternino once told Akiva, sometimes you have to watch the game tape. But I was actually listening for something specific, but whatever. I don't normally do that because I'm Kayla. I don't listen to my own. I don't watch my own shows. But you said like you want challenge format names that like tell you about the format. And it's like funny because mm-hmm. you're much better than I am at associating like Inferno with what the format was or Duel and what the format was. Like, honestly, if my life depended on it right now, I could not tell you like those nondescript formats, because I just, even when I was watching it, I like never locked that in. So I guess it really is just sort of a return to the old school where like, okay, the Inferno 5, know what that means.
Right. Yeah. And I guess this is, we can think about this as the hardest season ever, which TJ tried to hammer home a couple times. The hardest season ever.
So, you know what's interesting about that? Unlike The Bachelor, when TJ says it's the blankest season ever, I actually believe him. Like, maybe I'm stupid, but yeah, it looks hard.
I think he's getting a little Chris Harrison-y because he does say like some variation of that. Like, everything. This is like the gnarliest season ever. This is the hardest season ever. This is the craziest season. He's digging into like his thesaurus for different adjectives about the best, the blank season ever. And so I'm starting to disregard the TJ preseason press.
Whoa. I don't know. Like, where's the lie, though? The last few seasons have been brutes. Brutes Magoots.
What? Brutes Magoots. All right,
move on. I have to undo a couple things I said last week. Duh. I'll be spending the whole season undoing that shit. But when Bailey flashes on the screen, I can't help it. I got excited. I regret saying I wasn't excited to see her. I think Bailey really delivered this episode. I'm scared of her. Apparently everyone's afraid of her. I don't know why. I have no idea why people are afraid of her, but I'm kind of here for it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the Bailey storyline play out, to see when she's called out, when she actually gets in the mix. It is not just like on the ancillary in the mix where Swaggy's potentially up. I'm very excited to see Bailey get in the faces of some of these people and try to make a name for herself, and if she succeeds or not.
Did anyone surprise you from, you know, having roasted them last week, or anyone you wish you had roasted last week?
It was actually just kind of fun to see Fessy. I didn't think I'd actually enjoy him, but I kind of just got reminded of like his goofiness and how kind of like, not to be mean, but like he is kind of a Dumbo. So like seeing him there, he's going to be like a fun guy to like, he's going to try to get strategic at different points and it's going to fail miserably, and that's going to be fun. But he's like pretty athletic, so he may be able to make up for it. So I don't know. I think the Big Brother people are going to start to really make a name for themselves and do pretty well. So I'm excited for them.
I'm loving saying, is there anyone you like want to give props to or roast that you did it? And you're like, yeah, no, I want to give props to Pessy by completely roasting it.
But like I think he's actually going to do well, but I think he's going to be entertainingly bad also.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate read from my perspective, at least. And I have to clarify,
Casey,
sorry.
No,
but she
Casey,
was
like,
purple Casey.
Purple, but also like the right purple. She had like a great confessional of like, I'm going to listen to people and not say a lot to get myself a target. And I'm just going to let people come to me. And that's like what she did during Big Brother, basically. And I think it's going to work here. I think Casey's going to be here for a while.
I have a correction from last week. Usually we don't care enough to issue corrections, but in this case I do. I said Fessy and Haley broke up. I still feel like they broke up at some point, but they are apparently back together. So I apologize to fans of Love whose hearts I may have broken last week.
There you go.
Should we talk about the challenge?
Sure. Battle lines.
Jeremy Barton says, after watching the show, I'm still kind of confused on what was going on during the first challenge. And you know I was, Brian. So hopefully you can straighten us out.
It wasn't like the most, usually for these first challenges, I feel like they like to do like a big theatrical thing. This, I mean, I guess like the tanks coming in was kind of theatrical, and it let TJ have some fun with his maniacal laugh, which we all enjoy. But the basic format was you had to pull a crate of medical supplies, pretty apropos in today's world, 500 feet. And then at a certain point, TJ and someone else would be driving out tanks to cut off your rope if you didn't reach past a certain point. And then you had to do a puzzle and a math equation after that to finish out the challenge.
So I have a question. Do we need the theatrics of medical supplies? Like, I feel like usually we get like barrels. Like, I think it would be fine if it's like you have to pull this barrel. I don't know that I needed it to be like, you're pulling these medical supplies, we're at war. This maybe goes to the like, was it actually the Battle of Independence theme.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get a lot of those because obviously I feel like they're going big on like the Chernobyl type thing in the dungeon where they're living with like the Russian words and like the weird editing and like stuff like that. So I think we're getting a lot of these extra stuff in these challenges. It's not just gonna be like a basic thing. They're gonna add a little like little character to them.
Did you like this challenge?
Yeah. It was fine. I mean, they didn't really offer much. I wish they could have just done it all in one shot. I didn't need the second round again. Like we usually feel after a certain point, it's kind of redundant. Obviously, the thing that people couldn't stop talking about was the order of operations fiasco with the math. I mean, it's obviously like it in like real world. Like that's probably not how you're supposed to do that. But I mean, I understood like their concept of what they wanted to do. I guess they could have added parentheses a little bit before the division, but whatever.
Yeah, Joe Fo said, why doesn't the challenge know the order of operations? Honestly, so this challenge I didn't really like. Like, it was, in terms of putting ourselves in a new viewer's shoes, I think it sets a good tone for, like, athleticism, mental fortitude, sort of, and, like, TJ going buck wild in a tank. Like, where the hell are they getting these tanks? Like, that was fun, but also stupid, but from our perspective, from like watchability standpoint, to me, there wasn't enough distinction between pulling the barrel and rolling the spool and phase one and phase two and the puzzle and then the math problem. So like, I really did not understand where people were at what time. And like, yeah, they kept telling, okay, Corey's in the lead. Oh wait, but Josh is the first one to finish phase one, even though Corey finished pulling the medical supplies first. So like, it just wasn't an easy watch. Like, I'm sure I could understand it, but I don't want to have to be like, you know, with a pen and pencil and doing the order of operations to understand just like who's ahead of whom in the challenge. So yeah, and then they could miss me.
Yeah, then they did like the weird editing with like the quick cuts and stuff like that, and then they put like arrows pointing to people on the screen, but they were super faded and the arrows were like not even like, it was so tough to follow like who was who. So this is one of those where you just had to just kind of just sit back and let the narrators tell you what was going on, because especially with the girls, it seemed like any moment like Jenny was dominating and then Tori was dominating and then Jenny was dominating and Tori was dominating and then all of a sudden Jenny won. Like, oh, okay.
And then D out of nowhere, I was like, wait, where's D been this whole time? Yeah. Honestly, as my friend's dad says about Game of Thrones, I just let it wash over me. Yep. the order of operations is funny because it honestly had me second guessing my maths skills, as the UK, our British friends would say. That, I guess that's not UK slang. That's just like how UK people say things. Obviously, like you were saying, it's not what they were getting at. Like in the first puzzle they show us, it's like if you do the subtraction before the addition, it gets very easy. But if you're in a high pressure situation, you know, for example, okay, so the equation we first saw for the men was 67 plus 54 minus 53 divided by 2. So what they wanted you to do, obviously, is 54 minus 53 is just 1, so 68 divided by 2. But when you're in a high-pressure situation, you're going to look stupid and, like, you don't know how to do basic math. But I was second-guessing myself because I was like, oh, maybe it's the case because I knew that certain functions, it doesn't matter what order they're in. So maybe it's just parentheses and exponents, and then it's addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division just as however you want. So it got me questioning my fourth grade math. So everyone needs to suspend their disbelief apparently when watching the challenge.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they were going for what they did in like the final a couple seasons ago where they just had different numbers pop up along the way. But here when it's all laid out in one equation, then yeah, like you should probably do the division first. But I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, there were always like all of them, and I wrote them down and no one cares, but like all of the equations were like much easier than met the eye if you just did the easier part of it first. So PEMDAS should really, let's talk to teachers working very hard to do things virtually. Shout out to them. But let's talk to the teachers and maybe we just change it. If you do the easiest part first, you'll win $1 million. That's Allie does.
There we go. Alternate teaching.
All right. One thing we need to talk about is, I was ahead in my notes because I scroll down to the math. Why am I out of order? Okay. So we get introduced to Asaf here. People do much better at saying Asaf. Not perfect, but better. Asaf gets the ultimate revenge by calling Nani Nanny, which is what we're going to fully be calling her from now on.
Yeah.
But more notable than Nanny is the fact that Asaf's, like, we thought maybe it was just an MTV intern messing up the bios, but there's zero mention of Jay being on X on the Beach, or, I mean, I guess he does mention it in confessional, but he's not introduced as that. But Asaf, it's nowhere to be found that he was on Are You the One with Tori Deal, who you think would, like, come up in this intro package.
Right. Yeah, it's odd. It's especially because he was with Tori, who's on this season. Like, if there was no one else on the season, I could see them being like, I mean, what's the point of bringing it up? Especially with him going out, like, in 1 week. So, like, we don't really need to discuss his storyline and stuff. But it is odd because it's like an MTV show and they're promoting non-MTV shows. And it's not like they've never brought in people from Are You the One. They bring in a lot of people from Are You the One. So it is just odd. I would love to know, like, their explanation for it. I mean, I guess maybe if he lasted longer and the Tory thing came up and stuff like that, they would have brought it up. But it still doesn't understand why. Like, why wouldn't they just bring it up? All they have to do is, I was on Are You the One, and then I did this other stuff too. Why cut that out?
Here's the theory, Brian. We haven't asked you to bring this out recently, but if you have it somewhere near you and can dust off your tinfoil hat, I'd love for you to shake that off and put it on.
I got it.
Okay. I love this theory because I did talk about this on a Survivor podcast once about, like, who's a person that could pull this off. Mike Christensen says, is it possible Tori and production just didn't recognize Asaf with longer hair, and that's why he talked about every other show he was on other than Are You the One? Is it possible they have no idea he was on Are You the One?
That my tinfoil hat just fell off. That's that's too up. That they didn't recognize him. Nah, I can't see that. I can't get there.
In appearance and in energy, this is a different Asaf than we watched on Are You the One.
I guess so, but I mean, there's no way we're like, oh, this guy looks cool. Oh, look at that. He's already in our database. He's cleared. Perfect.
He just, to me, Asaf, like, let's talk about his presence this season. Like, Asaf is like this goofy, like, Israeli, like, guy, a dancer. And most of my explanation requires you to see me, which you can't. But, like, I felt like Asaf here was just sort of, like, dejected and, like, okay, we're going to, jumping ahead to the house, like, you're telling me all these people are acting fake and you don't know how to vibe? Like, you've been on literally every other reality show besides this one.
Maybe he needs the sun. Maybe he just got super depressed not being outside. Even the first challenge, it was gloomy and gray. He just needs, like, sunlight to let the Asaf and him shine.
Akiva lives in Israel and he doesn't need sunshine. What's the problem?
He just needs a podcast. But,
fair enough. All right.
We can give Rogan some credit for the win, right? Or should we talk about that at all? The fact that Rogan won?
My notes are all crazy. I guess because as people were being introduced, I was like jotting things down. So the challenge is still going on. Yeah, let's talk about the challenge.
Yeah, so Jenny and Rogan are the winners. Jenny winning is not surprising because obviously, as we talked about her being one of the strongest female players, anytime she wins, it's not surprising. But after Rogan skated by a lot of the season last year, for him to come out and win the first challenge, I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah, we have to also, I think, perhaps Rogan, obviously, but also to CT and Fessy, who finished second and third. You know, like, we dog CT out a lot, but this was like an endurance challenge and not something that if you had just shown me on paper, I would have thought CT would have thrived. I guess it's not like running, like he does have strength. So, but still, like, I was really impressed by CT, like, showing up. I am less worried, let's say, of him having to go into elimination than I would have been. And Fessy, you know what? Showed up. Good on Fessy, like, making a name for himself.
Yeah, best availability is availability. But, yeah, but I think it just goes to show.
Wait,
like,
what?
The best ability is availability.
I haven't heard that.
It's never mind. But I think
not
it's
available.
Like
okay.
This collection of like three for the guys and the girls, I think it just shows like how like strong, like top to bottom. Like there isn't a lot of easy guys out. There's a lot of different people you can see winning. So I think it goes to show like the deepness of this season where we can see a lot of different people winning and losing and people being bounced at various times.
Yeah, definitely we've reached, and we've been talking about this for a while, a golden age of sort of athleticism. It used to be like there were like three or four people who you knew were the comp beasts, and then there was like middling people, and then there was trash. And now it's sort of like, it's hard to find. You could squint and find a layup on these seasons in recent days.
Mm-hmm.
I have a thing about Jenny here. It's like, I do think Jenny's stock was the lowest it will ever be coming into this season. Somebody asked me recently, like, who's a good sleeper pick for a challenge draft? And in 30 seconds, I said Jenny. Because I still feel like, while it's not surprising she won this, I don't know that people going into this were really assessing her properly, that she's obviously a challenge beast. People really like her. She made really good bonds last season. And Jenny, now that it's confirmed that she will not be constricted by a UK team tanking their own game for an alliance she's not a part of, I think this is Jenny's to lose almost.
Yeah, no, I can't really disagree with that. I think people, like you said, they kind of got thrown off by Tori's like very impressive win that we might look back on and be even more impressed by if Jenny goes on to win a season or two of this. So yeah, I'm with you. I think her winning would not be a shock in the least.
And the fact that we always say, like, why aren't people practicing swimming or puzzles, whatever. Like, the fact that Jenny was practicing, I mean, we'll ignore the guinea pigs thing. The fact that Jenny was practicing equations, like, that, even if somebody asked me to make a guidebook, I don't know that I would tell people to study equations. It's good for her.
Especially if it's like math, like, oh, you studied like addition.
Yeah, she was studying those equations. I don't know what app is, like a fourth grade math app, but good for Jenny. She nailed it.
I said that and I would probably screw up like 68 plus 53. But
oh, well, anyone in that situation, I don't want us to come off like we're being a-holes here.
Right.
But I think you'd be able to do it. Just say we can't do other things. We could probably do an equation.
The equation is also kind of flimsy. If like an equation, you need like a variable in there. That's just like a math problem. It's not, whatever. That's okay.
I thought equation was because of like the equal sign.
I guess so. Usually, yeah. Basically, okay. Whatever.
So maybe we couldn't do the equations. did we talk about the format? I think I got too much into the hair. Like, did we talk about how it's basically free agents and what we think of that?
Yeah, we didn't say what we think of it, but yeah, but it is free agents. TJ said he'd be paired with one person and small teams, big teams, by yourself. It'll be varied across the season, which is, I like that. It's probably the easiest way to do these types of seasons, as I don't think we're going to be seeing two large teams anytime soon after the debacle of last year. So I think this is probably the format, outside of like when they do another rivals or something like that. This will be the norm.
Yeah, I think we really needed this, honestly, after last season. Like, I needed it. I needed to take a deep breath. So yeah. I'm happy to see this. All right. So anything else to say about this challenge?
No. How about, so we got another part of the rules is the tribunal. So here, based off the format of this challenge, we had two winners and they had to pick a third. And they tried to go what I guess how they described it as just like a bland pick, like a non-pot stirrer pick, and they landed on Corey.
Yeah, I think this was a really smart, I hesitate to say this because I feel like you're going to be like, this was bad and going to convince me or whatever. I don't feel that strongly about this, but, you know, Ashley Bedazzled said, why Corey is the third? And I thought this was a really good move for Rogan and Jenny. You know, like, they have relationships from one season and one episode. But it's not that strong. You know, Rogan's number one isn't back. Jenny's like UK ladies really aren't back. So I think it's a good opportunity to find someone they think is middling. Like, they're not going to just try to appeal to Wes or Bananas or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to go rogue. They're going to go Rogan and pick a strong dude who looks like he's up for grabs. So I thought this was a great move.
Yeah, and especially for the first one of these, this is usually the easiest voting process of the whole season, because 99 times out of 100, you're going to vote in a rookie. So like, you don't need someone with you to make a big move. You don't need anything like that. Like, even no matter what you do, is not going to cause ripples if you vote in a rookie. So just pick someone that maybe you can start build a friendship with or something like that. And no, you don't need someone to make a big move with, because you know you're almost definitely just going to be voting in one of the rookies.
And like, you have to imagine Jenny and Rogan are already pregame aligned, being UK allies. So like, it almost doesn't matter, because they'll always, you know, they're going to have it 2-1 if it really comes down to it. But to me, this was like a huge sign of the changing times that like these people are starting pretty much rookies themselves, arguably, are trying to form new bonds and make new moves and not just like bow down to the quote unquote powers that be. So I got really jazzed seeing this.
Yeah, it also probably helped that there was no time before the challenge where obviously these people all have pregame alliances and stuff like that, but there was even no time of starting any type of alliance building or anything like that before a challenge even started. It just went straight to it. So even if there was a half hour, an hour of some time in the house to build something else, there was literally nothing.
Oh, are you scared? At first I was like, wait, did they film these seasons back to back? Now I see what you mean. I was like, oh, I'm going to pretend like I knew that. Yeah, I know they have to do gendered eliminations, guys, girls, but it's almost like I already felt like when you see Anissa, like, yes, when it's a guys elimination day, like, it just feels like such a waste. Like, okay, the girls just competed for, like, nothing. I guess because Jenny's still in the tribunal, but it just felt like a big, like wet blanket dropped on it.
Yeah, I actually thought there was a chance with these hour and a half episodes that they might have just gone to, like, guy and girl eliminations each week. I thought they could pull it off with like these 90-minute episodes, but that's just not what they do. But like, I would rather that than have like a couple of purges throughout the season. I'd rather just clean like that.
I agree. I normally like the purge, but I think hearing you say, I think you've said this before, but now hearing it fresh ears after I felt how I felt when they said it was guys, I think that's the right thing. I think they shouldn't have purges, and every challenge should count for every gendered person.
Yeah, especially the fact that they're making you win, like the purge is to get rid of like people skating by, that you have to like win something to like advance, but the fact that you have to win elimination makes it even more so that you don't need a purge.
Should I jump ahead? No, I can't. I'm gonna lose my spot. There's a question sort of like that I wanted to get to, but we'll talk about it when we talk about that elimination twist. But for now, let's go to the bunker. Because we talked a lot about this last week, about what we thought this bunker would be. Haley Strong says, is their house that bad?
I mean, the thing that's bad, obviously, is just like no sunlight and be trapped inside. But I mean, you go outside for challenges and stuff like that and eliminations. But I mean, not having like outdoors probably sucks. But no, it's not like that grimy and stuff like that. It's as nice as you could probably be living in underground.
Okay, Brian, did this, like, give you joy? Did this butter your biscuits? Like, was this like, oh, my God, I'm seeing people go in with toilet paper and a bar soap. This is like, you know, quarantine before it was cool. And look at how these meager conditions. Oh, wait. But there's an amazing gym and track and stainless steel appliances and hot tub and pool. And pretty much it's the same house, just a little bit worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've never not related to someone more than Jordan being so excited about like the open track and like the gym. Like, I was like, that is not what I get excited about, like even in the slightest. But like, you do you, and I found out would be like, oh, great, we have this stuff, cool.
Yeah, no, we're definitely like Nani and Jenna with this. Oh my God, there's alcohol.
Oh, Nani, in these times, like I said last week, we need Nani, and she delivered so much. She was so great. Oh, she's the best. Oh, Nani, you,
who I also thought delivered, and you were talking about her last week, and how she'd fare making new friends, but Ashley to me had one of the all time greatest lines about the house, and she's like, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I know that sounds dramatic, but I've had a really easy life. I love that.
Yep. She was great. Even when she was talking with, I think it was Big T, like Big T's like, yeah, I think I really bonded with Ashley. Like, we really got a good friendship. I feel like her protege. And Ashley's like, I just need anyone to work with. I don't care.
Well, we teased this last week, but like, Ashley, I feel like this episode, we really got to see her game. Like, we've seen the results of it on every season. We see her go in with no friends and leave with a new posse, but like, I doubted her, but she comes in and I feel like we got the confessionals of her really explaining it and showing how charming she is and fun to be around, and the way she kind of lays little bombs like with Big T. It says like, oh, those girls are in alliance, let's talk later. Like, everyone knows that, but like, she picks somebody who's new, says this bit of information, makes them feel included, gets them on her side, like. And she doesn't discriminate. Like, Big T is not a big threat, or, you know, she got knocked out of this challenge early. She got knocked out last time early, but she does not care. Like, everyone's a vote to her. And I love it. I loved seeing this from Ashley.
Yeah, I mean, she's a two-time champ for a reason, like, and dominates this stuff. So it is good to get a sense of her beyond like the craziness when she flips out over like a toilet bowl. So seeing this side is great.
Let's talk about someone who we most likely would not talk about if not for this question from Nathan Deacon. How much does being half of the first team eliminated from an Amazing Race season 3 years ago prepare you for the challenge?
Yeah, I guess not much, but they really set her up in that confessional where they definitely asked her, so how does being on the Amazing Race prepare you for the challenge? Well, being on the Amazing Race helped prepare me for the challenge because, yeah, I mean, not much there. Not much.
Here's what I wanted from Jen, and here's why I'm lukewarm at best on Jen. And I think we would have gotten this if it was there, because I feel like we've seen this. Like, Ashley does this, right? It's almost like what we got with Ashley. Okay, how does being on the Amazing Race prepare you? Like, the Amazing Race prepared me because I went home first and was eliminated immediately, and I wouldn't let that happen again. Or something, like, some joke, like, some self-awareness about how, like, you were not really on reality television. The show didn't prepare you. And, like, let's have a laugh. I don't know. Like, to me, like, her actually spinning, like, you have to be quick on your feet. It was like an interview, a job interview. Like, I was like, forget it. I'm out on Jen right now.
Yeah, I think she's very likely to be going home next week. That's my feeling on Jen.
Fine. Great. I, like, no, never loved you. Like, whatever. Okay. I have Bananas and Johnny story. Oh, okay. That's supposed to be Wes, but I put you Bananas and Johnny. Okay. No one cares about my notes. I'll move on. Should we talk about Bananas and Wes now? This was a big ordeal.
It was. This was obviously what that teaser was, that potentially Bananas was retiring. He had some big announcement, and it turned out that it just him and Wes have decided to work together this season in a definitely not preconceived notion of creating a storyline for them too.
Look, we've talked about this for seasons. It had to happen. I think we talked about it last week that this is possibly a good time for it to happen because, like, they're getting outnumbered by a big band of people. I'm ready for this. I don't care that it's manufactured. I mean, I could do without the fake I'm retiring announcement, like, whatever. But we could talk more about that. But I'm ready for Bananas and Wes to work together. Like, I don't mind. I think Bananas has his finger on the pulse, and Wes and the producers have their finger on the pulse of what the audience is ready for. And, you know, if they came in with the same tired storyline of Wes versus Bananas, and you don't really understand why anymore, it doesn't behoove them. It doesn't help their game. So I'm here for it. It is overproduced 100%, but I'm here to watch that season play out.
I was a little surprised at how, you know, these two as, like, veterans of the game and how they should behave. If they wanted to try to do something under the radar, like, they were very much over the radar, like, making it very clear that they're, like, chummy working together. So I thought, I know, like, in confessionals and stuff, one thing to be over the top, but they were, like, over the top even just to everyone to make it, like, so obvious that they were working together.
So I had that thought, too, that, like, why aren't you capitalizing on the, like, oh, it's so unexpected for us to work together, a.k.a. the Brian Cohen strategy for sequester RHAP, which we'll talk about. But, like, that works in, like, Survivor or RHAP sequester or whatever. But to me, it's like Wes and Bananas, I think, and I haven't fully fleshed this out. What a surprise. But I think Wes and Bananas are, they benefit from making it public, because much like Swaggy and Bailey, like, if you feel like Bananas is on an island or Wes is on an island and you call him out, and everyone's going to be thrilled that you called Wes out, and everyone's going to be thrilled that you called Bananas out, and nothing's going to happen to you. On the flip side, like, you're much more willing to do it. On the flip side, if you call Bananas out and he's built an alliance with Wes and CT and whoever else they're going to muster up, that's more of a deterrent to calling them out than if they were solo. So that's my thinking on, like, why it's a bigger threat for them to have more people visibly around them. But maybe that's crazy.
No, I see that. So you're, rather than pretending that, like, oh, we could pick off Bananas or we could pick off Wes here, knowing that picking them off theoretically, we'll see, like, it becomes this, that really now you have the wrath of more people. They're not really, not like these people on their own that we could take a good shot at them without fear of payback and stuff. So, I mean, I guess that makes sense, but obviously then we'll have to see, like, you know, they're theoretically working together, but are they really going to be that upset if someone of them goes home at a certain point? So I guess that's kind of like the balance that everyone else will have to play.
Right. It's, they definitely don't have the bond that Swaley do or that Bananas would have with Leroy or whatever. At the same time, though, like, and let's talk about the format of the season. Like, I think it's, I like that it's going to be the full cast voting someone out publicly. Like, you can't really hide your alliance anymore. Like, at some point, it's going to get down to it. Like, wait, Wes and Bananas are voting together. You know, you might as well just, like, fully embrace it.
Yeah, in terms of the format, yeah, I like this. I like that there's no automatic person going in. I like that there's two sets of voting. I think that just adds more to storylines and stuff like that. So I like that. So that'll be cool. I like the public nature of it. The one thing I don't like, I mean, I guess we'll see if it delivers stuff. The interrogations just, that just feels like if they're going to do these hour and a half episodes, that like cut that and do something else or move it down to an hour and we can get rid of that. I just don't know what these interrogations really are like they ever give in terms of entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the last time, I think Wes is known as, like, very fun in them. I think it depends on, like, who's in them. Obviously, there was very little joy in this tribunal. But, you know, I feel like the best time we had with one of these was when, like, Tony had Burger King. And since then, it hasn't been that great. But, you know, like, I do feel like MTV has demonstrated a willingness, or the powers that be who cut the show have demonstrated a willingness to cut those down like pretty aggressively to the point where it's just like one question each. So I agree I could lose it, but you know, okay, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, public voting good, format good, all good.
Question from the great Mel Got Served. Did Jay encourage Asaf to hook up with Nani because he knows she is the kiss of death in the game? We talked about Asaf, we talked about Nani. Let's talk about the hookup heard until the end of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, is she like, I know she hooks up with like a different person, but like, or do they, are they like always like black marked and like losers? That storyline I don't really remember too much. I feel like sometimes the guys go pretty far.
Well, this famously happened very recently with Chase from The Bachelor, where they like hooked up night one and then he went home immediately.
That was a funny one.
You know, Adam like from her season of The Real World, they hooked up, he got kicked off the show.
Okay, all right, there's three. All right, maybe there's a point. Kahuna went far, though.
Yeah, well, you know. What do you want? So no, you don't think Jay... Because Jay, I think the great part of this question, and she had originally said, like, did Jay... And I have to say, people are so bored right now, and I understand. The challenge had record viewers. Everybody's loving this. There are no sports. All eyes are on the challenge. And all eyes are on my inbox because people are sending me questions for this podcast. Mel recorded an Instagram video and sent it to me. My friends Molly and Johnny, friends of the podcast, sent me an email. People are DMing me on Twitter. Facebook had 40,000 questions. Like, I can't keep up with all the questions. But what Mel actually said in the video, and we love it, we want you to keep participating, but I'm tired. But what Mel said was, did student of the game, Jay? And that's what I think is really interesting. Jay seems to be the only rookie who like has actually seen the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I just think that's interesting.
So if you want to put tinfoil hat, even more so than the kiss of death from Nani, is there a world where Jay wanted Asaf to hook up with Nani, knowing that that would put a target on his back because they don't want Nani to have an ally? So like, all right, so everyone who would be against Nani would want to vote in Asaf over Jay.
Wait, who's Nani?
Nani? What? I don't even remember how you said the
Nanny.
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 Batty?
Batty? Like the person who might watch one's kids.
There you go.
I think that's great. I don't think that's true, but I think listen to this and start claiming that immediately.
Yeah. No, I think they were just both drunk and bored and just like pushed Asaf to Nani and then that was it.
How do you think it went when Nani slid into Asaf's DMs after the show?
Probably pretty well. They seem to get along well. I wouldn't be surprised.
Do you think she's traveling to Tel Aviv? Like, what do you mean pretty well?
They probably have good conversations.
I'm sure. I'm sure the dialogue is riveting. I'm sure. To be a fly on the wall of that Instagram exchange.
I'll ship it. I just want Nani to be happy. She's just provided me so much enjoyment over the years. I just want her to be happy. So whatever that means.
We only want Leroy to be happy on this podcast.
Both.
Well, if Nani's happy, then Leroy might be happier. So.
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk about Kyle. Kyle is snaking around, really does. I believe that he really wants to win. I think he's like, this is my best chance because Polly and Carr aren't here.
Mm-hmm.
But we get this storyline that, you know, these famous rivals, the people for seasons that you have known to hate each other, Rogan and Kyle. Molly Block said something. She said, why are they trying to make a rivalry between Rogan and Kyle? Do you recall this famed rivalry?
I'm so happy this is a question because I know we podcast about the show and we should know a lot about it, but I didn't remember that Kyle and Rogan had a feud at all. So the fact that other people did, I'm like, okay. They said they missed something. I didn't realize they're a thing going on last season much at all. So unless that's something that's going to build this season and they just wanted to have a backstory going into it, I didn't think that there was any real animosity between them.
To me, this felt faker than CT, than Wes and Bananas. Like the countless times we got confessionals of Rogan and Kyle, topped off by Rogan meaninglessly saving him. Like Kyle was never going in, and Rogan is like, I hope you'll keep your promise to me. Like, get off, Rogan. Like, act like you've seen the show. No one's gonna be loyal to you because of this stupid first elimination round you saved them from. So I was pretty much pissed throughout that this was like, I almost felt like they don't, you know, like, don't tell me I'm dumb. Like, don't act like I'm dumb. Give me the real tea. Like, this was completely manufactured. Now, Kyle and Rogan were not on the same side while being on the same team last year. But to me, that does not a rivalry make. And this is not Rivals. If I'm watching Rivals, fine. I'll buy into Vendetta, like the bullshit.
Vendettas. Use the right word. Vendetta.
Well, Rivals was a season two.
I know. I'm sad. Because Rivals is no longer there. It was never mind.
All right. Vendettas, Rivals, old friends, new friends, keep some friends, make the old whatever. Like, I don't care. But if that's not the theme of the season, then don't shove this down my throat. I agree with Molly. I thought this was totally bullshit. And don't at me. I don't care if you're going to, like, piece together the fabric of their one season feud. The reality is not getting along and not working together for one season does not make a Kara and Kyle level storyline for this season.
No. No, certainly. What I did enjoy was seemingly CT passing along his wisdom to Kyle, who's trying to shed the untrustworthy stigma, and CT giving him advice and guidance on how to do so. That's something I can get behind.
So I like this dude, Dad CT in full effect, but did CT do this last season? Like, do people trust? I know it's not as bad as Kyle or like Wes, but is CT really have legs to stand on here? Because last season he like played both sides and like abstained and threw burn votes until he absolutely had to.
Yeah, but CT saying it, so you just listen to it as gospel, so it doesn't matter.
Fair enough. I'm sorry in advance that I even questioned it. We get a tease of Bear and Kayla. There's more to come with that.
More to come. Kayla, by the way, popped up in Vanderpump Rules last week.
Oh, tell me like I don't know, Brian.
Woke up to a great message from Haley Strong informing me this, and I was very surprised to see it. I didn't catch her in the background. It was very fun.
Why is Haley tweeting you about Vanderpump Rules and not me? Maybe she knows I caught it and I didn't need to be.
Probably. Probably. Remember, I'm now heavily involved in the ARP community, so I have friends now.
Yeah, I've been pulling those puppet strings for weeks. Can I talk about just one confessional look? You know I'll have more to say as we go through the season, but
please do.
The award for outstanding achievement in confessional looks has to go to Corey. I already talked about his pointy beard, but Corey Jobs in the black turtleneck, like, what is happening? Or is he like Elizabeth what's her face from Bad Blood? Like, what's happening? He's like working for Theranos.
I'll look out for that next week.
Catch this tight mock neck shirt he's wearing. It looks like he was going to be a mime soon. Like, I don't understand. That was just the standout outfit for me.
Are mimes still a thing? Are people still mimes?
Did you watch 100 Humans or whatever it's called on Netflix?
No.
Aren't you bored? Like, what do you mean you're not watching this? Watch this.
Watching The West Wing.
Okay, well, this is a show on Netflix. We'll just take a quick detour that I watched like minute one of quarantine. It's perfect quarantine television. They run a series of experiments on the same 100 humans, and it's like pretty funny. And each episode has a theme. And one of the episodes, they're tackling like whether or not low tones like makes food more bitter or something like that, or sweeter. There's some, obviously it really stayed with me, but there's like some theory that certain sounds make food taste different. So they like have three things. They have like a piccolo's playing, they have a tuba like quartet playing, and in the control group they just have a mime for entertainment. So yes, apparently mimes are still
didn't expect that tangent off that question, but I liked it. All right, I'll have to check it out.
I know things.
You do.
If they're on Netflix. Anything to come out of, I guess a lot to come out of this deliberation. I think the votes were very hard to track. Do you see any patterns here with the voting?
No, I tried to track after the first couple. Then I realized we were about to get 25 votes. I'm like, all right, never mind. I can't do this for every person. But so I didn't see a lot. I did enjoy Bananas tossing it off the CT to cast the first blow after him, as we mentioned, not making any sort of definitive decision last season. I thought that was pretty funny. I also really enjoyed it. I had laughed immediately when he like voted for Jay. And then, like, the next few votes completely didn't listen to him at all. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, but I was surprised by that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it. Yeah, that was it.
So, I'm trying to look now to see if Bananas and Wes even voted alike here. I wrote everything down, and it's too hard to follow. I think Bananas voted for Jay, because it's interesting, right? Like, Bananas and Jay don't get along because of Morgan. So right. You would think, so I think Bananas did vote for Jay. And so, yeah, so Tori, Jordan, Bananas, Kyle, Jenna, Jen, Kayla, and Nani voted for Jay. And if this is wrong, I don't care. Wes, Maddie, Josh, Nelson, Bear, Anissa, Bailey, D, Mel, Big T, Jay, Bessie, Ashley, Swaggy, and Casey vote for Asaf. Asaf votes for Wes. And yep. Wes acts like his mother voted him in.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he really gave a good explanation. Why was he just trying to make like a TV moment? It didn't make any sense, his reaction. Like none.
Wes or Asaf?
Wes.
Right. Especially because if Wes, so CT votes for Jay. Wes is the first voice against that and puts the vote on Asaf. Presumably, if nobody put their neck out, maybe everyone would have just voted for Jay because it would have been easier. So, right. Of course, Asaf votes for, I mean, not of course, but like, all right, Asaf is a professional reality star. Good on him for like pretending to make a swing that's never going to land and just take it on the chin, Wes.
Right. And not even never going to last, like impossible to last. It was the last vote. It was done. It was over. Like it was, that was it. He was just making a funny statement at the end. Just be like, haha, you're going in. It sucks for you. And not like freak out like he just lost his family.
What Wes wants to achieve here, I think the narrative he's going for is like, I've done nothing on purpose. And like, I haven't schemed or plotted. And I'm getting called out for being schemy. And I'm trying to shed that stigma. What I'm also seeing is, sorry, go ahead.
No, but like his thing, like again, he's professional. He's like, I'm playing possum. You can't announce that you're playing possum. Like that goes against playing possum. You can't be like, I'm dead. And like, but not be dead. Like that goes against, that's contradictory to your plan.
But my thing is like, I saw this as a fake fight to unite him and Banana. Like to me, after that, the fact that this like rolls into him and Bananas, I'm like, okay, maybe this was like he's gonna find a reason to get mad. Like this now feels overly produced, but whatever. It did help me understand for the first time the phrase weird flex, but okay, when Asaf flexes in the strangest way I've ever seen after people applaud him for voting for Wes. And why are people applauding him for voting for Wes when it's meaningless? So this was the ultimate weird flex, but okay for me. And I may never understand it again.
It was odd all around. Very odd all around. What seemed like a very innocent first vote that would vary by the book took a hard right or a hard left.
I want to say hard right.
Because discriminatory against lefties. Hard right.
I do have a question that you won't be able to answer. But I did talk to Akiva, our Orthodox correspondent. Asaf is Jewish, maybe the most Jewish representation we've ever had in a challenge this season. And Asaf is wearing what appear to be tzitzit, which is like fringe that very religious people wear. But also an Orthodox person would not be like making out and shirtless on television for a living. So I went right to the source. I went to Akiva Winokur. If you're not familiar with Akiva Winokur, he's a podcaster on the RTP network. And he's also Orthodox. And Akiva wrote back. I was like, I don't want to be disrespectful. Like, is there maybe I don't understand. Like, is there a world where this would be happening? And he was like, the list of people who wear tzitzit and don't wear a head covering or a hat is Asaf. That's it. He's the only person in the world. So
he's one of one. Good for him.
There's a lot. And I am not here to judge anyone's religious personal practice. You do whatever you want to do in your religious practice. I would just like more information, and I don't deserve it. I don't need to know. But Asaf's Instagram is very confusing. Because sometimes he wears his hair like payas, which I could Google it. I'm not going to explain that, but like he sometimes presents himself as like a very Orthodox man, but then also is not. So I want more information. No judgment. I'm just curious. It's like he's, Akiva said, it's like he's cosplaying an Orthodox man. So I'm just curious.
He's an enigma.
He is certainly an enigma, and I'd like to hear more, honestly.
Probably will never be on a challenge again, but so we'll have to find out elsewhere.
Are we going to jump to that? I feel like there's more to ask about that than a throwaway.
Well, I could get back to it, but that was just my throwaway.
All right, well, let's go to it, because actually Kiva's the one who asked, but I was going to ask you, too. Like, do you think we'll see Asaf again?
I do not. I just don't see what he adds to it, unless, like, they really stretch and do a Nexus thing with him and Nani or Nanny. But other than that, I just don't know what he brings that anyone else really couldn't bring. So
does he bring less than Big T brought on her first season?
I think Big T at least is a more entertaining personality. I just don't know what Asaf does to the show.
Interesting. I was entertained by Asaf this season, and I was entertained by Asaf and Are You the One. I know he's extremely problematic, but I like actually think he has a non-zero chance of coming back, especially because we got so many clips of him saying he'll be back that it was almost like, well, what made them reach back in and grab him now? Like, to me, it's more surprising that he was put on in the first place. I was more surprised that he was on in the first place than I would be if he came back. I don't think it's a lock, but I definitely think it's a non-zero. Let's say this. If Jay goes out this week, I don't think we ever see him again. I think Asaf has a higher potential of returning than that.
Okay, that's fair.
He made out. He was weird. I think they like him in the sort of turbo spot, which maybe isn't fair, but he's like, you know, got an accent. So... he's not just like the run of the mill guy. He's definitely different.
He is different, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, no problem if he doesn't come back, I'd be fine. But I don't think it's zero. But now that we went out of order, obviously I don't know where. All right, so Asaf gets voted in. Were you surprised that it was Asaf and not Jay?
A little bit. Because I thought, like, as we discussed, the fact that there's Bananas has a gripe with Jay, that he doesn't really have a lot of connections. And I thought Asaf with Nani might be able to get a little sway in the house, but that was obviously poor thinking. So, yeah, I thought it would be Jay, but I guess it didn't really matter in the end. But yeah, I thought Hero would be Jay.
Yeah, I thought it would be Jay too, because I thought people would want to go against Jay. Like, I feel like the tribunal is more of a wild card than the community vote, at least with this many people on the vote. So like, you would think that the people, the tribunal is safe, so they could put in whoever they want. At least, you know, they might be afraid that they'll come back, but at least they can, they don't have to go against them. So you would think that the weaker of the two, or at least the weaker presenting of the two, I don't think Jay presents as weak, but I think he presents as weaker than Asaf potentially. So I was a surprise. I was surprised for that reason, because I would think that they would want to put in the person they'd least want to go against and then leave it to the tribunal to make the quote unquote stronger player angrier if they're going to end up putting Asaf in anyway.
Yep. Makes sense.
But I think it's a credit to the Big Brother Alliance, right? Like, I think Jay is clearly in and was pregame in with Swaley and Fessy and Casey.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a few votes, but I don't know how much sway they had at this point in the game to swing it like that. But I guess it didn't hurt to have that cluster voting your side.
And you know, Wes reaches out to everyone, though. So like, Wes also probably mm-hmm. had conversations with the Big Brother Alliance, and Wes is the one leading the charge against Asaf. And interesting, we get a lot of information here. We get Bananas voting against Jay, against Big Brother. And last week we were speculating, like, would Morgan's connection trump? And I guess they don't. And I don't really blame him. I think I'd probably vote against my girlfriend's ex-boyfriend, too.
Yeah, I can't really argue too strongly either way.
All right, but we have a lot of questions about the Wes and Bananas relationship that apparently comes after the vote. Who knows? But Aaron Zani says, what's more likely, the Bananas-Wes alliance holding strong or the two of them going against each other in elimination? Now, I think we kind of know they're going to go against each other in elimination for the preview. So how long do you think this is going to last is really the question. This was probably the most asked question. How long are Bananas and Wes going to stay together?
I'll give it like, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, like at least a couple votes, male, female, and then eventually they'll get a rift and go from there. So I'll give it like 5-6 weeks. That'll be my kind of feel of it. They'll try to keep it going, but eventually their egos and personalities will lead them astray, and then push comes to shove, and they'll have to make a move.
I'm going to take the opposite stance. I think they go the distance until they're in an elimination together. I think they're working together the whole season. It could be 5-6 weeks and they're in the elimination together, but I think their demise will mm-hmm. come because they're voted in.
Yeah, I think that would be fun to see if they actually can stick it out. If they're really that, feel like strongly that they want this to be like their thing, I guess they could, but I mean, I guess it depends on also if they could build a coalition. If it's kind of just them two alone, then they might have to go their separate ways. But if they actually can like get the thing going, like positive, then maybe they will stick it out longer.
I do. Now that I keep saying this, like when I was watching this episode, I did miss the aspect, and I will miss the aspect of the person who gets voted in by whoever getting to pick their own opponent. And like, I do worry with the tribunal, and this goes to you kind of saying the tribunal is done. Like, I think it would be better to have just the community vote, and then that person gets to name their opponent, especially knowing maybe they're doing it because they know people want to play weaker players and send themselves in mm-hmm. and go to the end. But it does kind of set the stage for something like last season to happen again, where like, if the right people get in power, then they could just keep sending the other side against each other into an elimination. Like, I like when it's Tori or Jordan gets the opportunity to like win out against the other faction.
Yeah, I think with the fact they having to go into elimination, I think it at least adds an extra layer. But we'll see how like they start playing that out with the votes. But yeah, I mean, like, there's always the fear with like, especially with just this many people, like a big coalition could ride it, but like they can't ride it all the way because they like all of them will have to go in at some point. So it adds at least that extra layer.
Anything really to come out of the tribunal? I mean, we have Rogan calling Kyle down again. We don't care about this. Corey calls Wes down. Jenny calls Jay down.
No, I mean, I actually thought Jay gave a pretty good pitch as to why he should stay. I'm sure it fell on deaf ears that this was what they were doing all along. But I think if you're going to make an argument as a rookie, saying, you know, this is what's always been done, but like, why does it have to be that way? I could be a number for you. Why don't you go against someone who's definitely not a number for you? I could fit into your plan. I thought he actually gave a good pitch, but I just don't think it was ever going to make any sort of difference.
Yeah, I definitely thought he gave the great best possible pitch. I agree with that totally. I also thought Corey did really well in the spot. Like, I think he played the role of neutral third exactly right. Like, he never overstepped. He sort of like kowtowed to Jenny and Rogan's authority, like, oh, I'll go do the dirty work and like put the signs in. Oh, I'm scared to be here. Like, he kind of just like a fun, light presence. He didn't push his agenda super far or hard. He didn't even get blood on his hands really with the pick. Like, he picks Wes and he says like, oh, I'm gonna pick the person Asaf was talking about picking. So I thought he did a really good job of like playing this right. I mean, I'm probably reading too much into it, but I thought this was a good Corey episode.
No, yeah, I agree. I think he, you know, didn't cause a lot of waves. He, you know, he's been away from these people for a couple of years now. So there's a lot of, I mean, I'm sure they've come in contact with each other, like in some of these events and Instagram and stuff like that. But in terms of playing with them, there's a lot of people in this game now that he has never played with and stuff like that. So it is kind of a new situation for him to get his feet wet. So it was a good spot for him.
And Wes, if I'm not mistaken, has tried to work with the Young Bucks before. That was like, you know, Wes was really close with Hunter and even before that. But so maybe it is just sort of like, oh, I'm going to call down Wes, but like maybe they are working together. I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see.
Totally.
Also, Bailey had some weird moments, right? Like, she has this moment in the vote where she kind of checks Jay on like, were you trying to throw Swaggy under the bus? And Jenny even mentions that she doesn't want to put Swaggy in because everyone's so afraid of Bailey. Amy LaRue says, will Bailey's attitude lead her to be an early boot never to return, or will the challenge accept her as a new villain / drama producer?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting spot. I think she's just trying to not get forgotten about, at least like edit-wise. I think she's trying to like say like, this is at least for the early part of the game who I am. Like, I am the feisty person who's, if you come for my man, I'm going after you. Like, she's trying to make that her stance. I think if she plays it up every week, yeah, that's gonna get tired and like, you know, forget it, let's just vote her in. And like, what is she really gonna do without like any power? But if she picks her spots, which I mean, I guess here she first wanted to do it to like kind of make her name, and then going forward she can't do it all the time, but if she picks her spots wisely, she could, you know, develop a little bit of reputation.
Yeah, I mean, I think in response to this question, I don't think it's either or, right? Like, I think Bailey is going to be returning no matter what, based on this first episode. But she also might get voted in because people don't like her because how she's acting. Like, I think she could be an early boot and return at this point, no problem. But I think, like, look, it's working. I actually don't think it's like a calculated act for screen time. I mean, maybe it is. But I also think this is truly in her purest form, like who Bailey is. Like, Bailey is like not to really be messed with. And Bailey does care about Swaggy. Like to me, this like rang true. Like, I don't know why. Like, maybe I'm just getting played. But like, this rang true to me as like how she is. And I don't think there's a moment where she's going to be like okay with somebody even putting Swaggy up as a pawn in the challenge. Like, I think she's going to be here and go to bat for him. And I think that's a reason to vote her out, right? Because if you're comparing Swaggy to Bailey, who's going to be angrier when you get which one of them out first? Probably Bailey's going to be more mad if Swaggy goes out than Swaggy will be mad if Bailey goes out. So it's a bigger target on her, but I think she's a lock to keep coming back.
Yeah, I think so as well.
Would Bailey come back without Swaggy, you think? Or they're Polly and Kara?
No, I think they would play without each other if it came to it. I don't know. I think the MTV would probably want them both there. I feel like it adds more having them both there. But I think if for whatever reason, I think Bailey would play without Swaggy.
Also, can we just say how like the challenge is really the only show that can get away with like casting engaged couple and that not be an automatic threat? Right. Like, just because of the deep relationships with everybody else in the house, like even if you're not engaged, like you have friendships for 20 years. Like, that's more than Swaggy and Bailey have known each other. So they're not even the biggest threat.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
All right. Any surprise that Jay's the one who gets voted in Purgatory?
No, not really at all at this point. I mean, you're not gonna, unless it was a clear person that like you're going after or something like that. At this point, you're going to vote in a rookie, especially not knowing any of the rules. Again, like, it's early in the game with so much uncertainty. You just, it makes sense to play it safe.
And then anything I guess to say before we talk about airstrike?
No. I think it was obviously a clear move, put it in two rookies, and yeah, I think it made the most sense.
All right, let's talk about airstrike.
Yeah. So this one, they are suspended up in the air, holding onto a bar and have to push a glass window into each other to knock each other off. But it really just turned into who can hang on to a bar up in the air the longest.
Yeah, I think Jay wins this because he really outsmarts Asaf. And I don't blame Asaf. Like, I probably would have said, like, okay, I'm favored to win this. I'm strong. I have body control. I'm a dancer. And I've got 20 pounds on it, you know, like, I'm heavier than him, so I must be able to knock him off. And, you know, the Goliath, David defeated Goliath here. I mean, not that Asaf's really Goliath, but I thought Asaf was the favorite to win.
Yeah, I the problem with this one, I feel like it was cool format, but I think it was kind of a bust the way it played out. Like, pushing the glass, like, it didn't seem to do anything. Like, all, I mean, by the second round, they weren't even using that as like a weapon. They were both kind of just leaning on it. And just, it was just who can hang on the longest. So I don't think this challenge played out anywhere near as what MTV was thinking it would.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess if you remove the barrier and try to make it like feet, foot to foot, literally tip top toes combat, that doesn't really work. Like, you don't want to kick like them in the face.
Yeah, like a swinging ball or something like that. But something that would like clearly have more of an impact than like this giant glass window that, like, I don't know, it's like you could kick it that hard into someone. So it didn't seem to do much at all to the challenge.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I liked it in the air, though. I liked them taking a twist, you know. This was, this felt like a twist on the, like, you both hands on the bar and whoever can wrestle it out first, like, same concept. But
totally,
and even we see people applying the same concept there, like, I'm just gonna dig in and exhaust the other person. But at least they're locked up, so it seems like more interesting than just watching people like monkey bar hang. But overall, I like the challenge.
Yeah, I it was different. I'm always in favor of doing different stuff. So try stuff out. Stuff in the air, I think, plays more here. Like, stuff in the air during the regular challenges has kind of been played out, but here it kind of works. So that part I enjoyed.
So Jay wins, and did you clock the emblems on the helmets before TJ explained it?
No, I did not. And now I kind of want to, like, I wanted to go back and actually see, because that's pretty cool. I hope they kind of keep that, like, right, forever.
Yeah, Brian's going back and checking the tape.
And by that, I mean, I'm going to look at it on, like, next episode.
Yeah, for sure. We've been at this too long for you to say that to this audience, Brian.
Yep.
I wouldn't go back either, to be clear. Yeah, I didn't notice it either. I think it's the best line of the night is TJ saying, okay, we got skulls on your helmets for elimination wins, daggers on your helmets for championships. And if it's blank, hopefully that means you're new. Who's blank? Big T's is blank for sure. And she's not new.
Yeah.
Anybody else new? Not new, but not blank. Sorry,
what's
not
really
new,
sad
but
is
blank.
Like how many, like, I don't even know, but I'm sure there's a couple, but like for Nani, like how many eliminations wins does she even have? I feel like she doesn't even win that many to begin with. She's been on the show for like ever. She probably has like two little like skulls up there as it's just like hanging out.
Does her like battle back into the house count?
I guess so. I don't
know. Oh yeah, she has three. She has 11. She's 3 for 11.
Not great.
Not great.
No, not great. Okay, but we love you. Love you, Nani.
Don't speak for me. No, it's fine. All right. Question about how this is going to play out. So, if you don't get a red skull, and I do love it, right? They don't need to be tracking the legacy on the helmet, but I love that they are. Like, they could just say, okay, if you have a red skull, that's it. Like, I love that they have
the
daggers and the skulls.
They should keep that forever. Like, they don't need to, like, even in a season where you don't need a red skull. Like, I love the fact that, like, they're putting statistics on their, like, uniforms and stuff. I think that's great. I love that. I think even all sports should do that.
Even in a season where they don't need helmets, put a helmet on them and track the. I mean, well, football, like, at least college football has those, like, stickers for, like, practice.
Yeah, they have some of
it. It's, like,
yeah.
Very that. Mm-hmm. I love it, too. I'm on board for it. I love the drama. Kevin Doherty, though,
get like tattooed on his back or something like that if he wins.
Yeah, what's Nelson's record, actually? That's another person who probably comes to mind.
Yeah. I don't know. He's a couple, maybe one or two elimination wins.
Let's see. You're such a stan. Oh, he's 8-2-1.
Is he really?
Apparently, according to player preview on medium.com.
Apparently, he's playing Mr. Nice Guy now. That's like his thing going. Like, I don't know what like he's talking about. Like, I don't, like he's, is he like, what was his situation the previous season? I don't think that's like been his problem, but okay.
Look, I'll never, you know, you see Nelson now, new viewers. I see Nelson in his cast photo for Are You the One wearing a fedora. Never forget.
Oh, Nelson, him and he, some people like you just have to, you need sparking joy, and they just spark joy when they're on my screen.
Ryan, I'm not kidding that I just pulled this up. I didn't need to pull it up. I knew it in my heart because I'll never forget the cast preview we did. And I'm like, who's this loser in this fedora? I'm sending it to you now. Do you remember the picture? I can see it clear as day before I even Googled it.
Let me see.
Coming through.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's super white, too.
If you can't clock a fedora in a season 3 Are You the One cast photo, what are you doing here?
Are you even a fan?
Don't come for my preparation. Okay. Kevin Doherty has an interesting question based on this Red Skull twist. Doesn't the requirement to win an elimination, I'm also suddenly regretting this, I don't know that I have the brain power to work through this, but we have to. Doesn't the requirement to win an elimination to make a final create an incentive for people to keep the best competitors out of elimination so they're shut out at the final? Is there a world where people go to the end without being able to throw themselves into an elimination and just TJ waves them goodbye?
No, I could see that. Like, if you're like, let's say like, so let's say Jordan, for example. I mean, but like at a certain point, like, yeah, like if he has to balance, I wonder if it reaches a certain point where the tribunal could vote for themselves. I wonder if that happens, because if you are winning, but also like you don't have an alliance to vote you in, then yeah, I could see someone like Jordan, for like Jordan's kind of the perfect guy where they don't want him to be in a final, and like maybe he won't have a lot of friends to vote him in. So I could see that kind of playing out.
That would be absolutely fascinating. But I guess it really depends on like how is the tribunal formed? Like, is there no world where Tori and Jordan can't get themselves into a tribunal and send one of them in? You know, I don't know. It's very interesting. I think it's possible. Do I think it's likely? No. Do I think it's more likely that the elimination before the final is everyone who hasn't been in? Yes.
I really hope not. That would suck, because I think that's actually super interesting if that played out, because theoretically then you can start picking people to be in the tribunal. Let's say like if there's one of these where it's a paired and like you guys are a strong alliance, you can pick someone super strong that hasn't been in just to have them be in the tribunal so they can't get voted in. So I don't know, there's a lot of different layers to it, but like I really hope that's not the case, that the last one is like, all right, like a purge basically, and that counts as elimination, because I think that adds a fun extra layer of strategy to like get yourself in a position to be voted in.
Look, we got so burned last season that I don't trust any format twist, but we'll see. Yeah, hopefully it plays out well. Matt Stewart says, which rookie showed the most promise? And Adam Bongiovanni said, out of all the prospects, who's the most likely to be on the show for a long tenured time? Now, I'm calling them rookies. Let's not go with the show.
No. Because seeing like Vet pop up to like Josh and so it does pain me. Like, they if they want to do Vet, like they need to have various words to describe Vet, because if you're using the word Vet to describe Josh and Anissa, something's wrong. So like there needs to be different words like on the spectrum. But
it just makes my heart so happy to hear you stan Anissa so hard recently.
Yeah, it's a weird decade, man. A lot of stuff going on.
It was a weird, you know what, that's, you're right. I felt like 2020 was a little weird, and now I understand exactly why. I couldn't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah.
That's it. Brian is like, eh, Jenna, I could do without. Anissa, though, she's a legend.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Everything's flipped on its head.
So wait, Yeah, I don't want any more terminology. It's like, if you want to call the new people prospects, fine, the brand new people. Everybody else is a rookie until they're CT, and then, like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. But what rookie, I mean, I guess, I mean, obviously Jay did the most, winning elimination is impressive. Bailey popped off the screen. Those are the, I guess, the top two. Noah, I mean, I think Casey can do well. I think Fessy can do well, but they didn't really do much this episode. But so Bailey and Jay would be the only two.
I mean, Fessy came in third overall for the men in the challenge. But that was so long ago. Who can remember?
Right. Also the show and this podcast.
The person, I mean, to me, Casey and Swaggy had the least to do this week. So, okay. You know, whatever. Who's got longevity? For Adam's question, I really feel Bailey. I like really feel like she's putting herself in a good spot. Like, we don't have the women anymore who can sort of like keep up with Ashley in terms of like talking shit and keeping the energy in confessionals. Like, we've lost Jemmy, we've lost Devon, we've lost Marie. I mean, I'm not saying they'll never be back. We don't have those people. And now we have someone who's also, you know, Devon too. Like, everyone brings in their own way in challenges, but we have someone who's physical and someone who can narrate, like, and is a woman. Like, I think we've been missing that for a little bit. What is it? Like, there's a post on Indeed. Like, but there's a job vacancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's up on ZipRecruiter and Bailey's filling it. Yeah.
Johnny Langan asks, Johnny Langan was supposed to be here tonight, but you rudely canceled a vacation, so.
I know.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Bad job by me causing a pandemic.
Where were you supposed to go?
L.A.
Ironically, where Johnny is. You guys could have done the podcast without me there.
Yeah.
What could have been? Okay. Johnny says, is it just us? Oh, because he was emailing me questions from him and Molly. So is it just us or are some people looking good this season, especially looking at you, Big T, in and out of your wig? Do you have a favorite glow up or busted moment?
Ooh. No.
Okay.
No, I don't know. No one really stood out other than like Wes's atrocious beard. I guess that's a glow down. But no, I didn't have any significant glow ups.
That is what Johnny suggested in his busted moments, like, i.e. Wes's beard. So I think you nailed it.
There you go.
I have a funny, I don't have an answer to this question, but I have a funny story that goes along with it. So Akiva, and with permission, I mean, I didn't ask permission, but he said, if you want to ask this to Brian, you can. So Akiva messaged me today and said, trivia question. She know I don't like to be quizzed on the challenge, but this I was up for. Trivia question. Which person did my 11-year-old daughter see on the screen while I was watching the show and say, he's really good looking? And the 11-year-old daughter wanted to clarify, don't tell her I said cute. I said good looking.
TJ.
No, sorry. It's a contestant.
Corey.
No, I'll give you three guesses of challenge players. So not Corey.
Bananas.
Nope.
CT.
Please. So you think 11-year-old girl's looking at CT and that's looking at her father. It's like a dad. Oh yeah, that dad is really good looking. No, okay. You lose. You lose so hard. I got it in three guesses. It was Rogan. And when he said the clarification after I got it, I was like, no, she's 100% right, because I was naming cute boys first. My first two guesses were cute. When it was good looking, I was like, oh, it must be Rogan. So we see you, Akiva's 11-year-old daughter. But when I was 11, I said I would never have said that in front of my dad when I was 11. I couldn't imagine walking in and saying in like a news show or like Spartacus, like, oh, that person's good looking. But I was watching the challenge when I was 11. So maybe it's better that Akiva's daughter is willing to say that and not actually knowing who's on the show.
That's probably true.
Haley Strong with the good tea here. Johnny Bananas is on the new season of Celebrity Worst Cooks in America. Did you know that?
I did not. That's, man, he pops up all over the place now.
He's the new Asaf.
Yeah. He's going to come back season 21. I am Johnny Bananas from Celebrity Worst Cook.
You may recognize me from after the show that airs after SNL.
Yeah. Never have been on MTV before.
Okay, I'm trying to find, this is so annoying. Oh, I'm trying to find our 5-star reviews. still working out the kinks. Like I said, I don't have big premiere energy. I'm really not doing so great here. Sorry about that.
I could drop the drinking game while you're looking.
All right, let's do that.
There were zero drinks. I got
That's not what we need right now, Kyle. We're in times of stress. Not to say that people should be drinking in times of stress, but like, do we really need a zero count? Can we start counting maths as British slang?
The four that we carried over, I carried over Date Night TJ and British slang. You carried over.
Oh, you've never had a guy show up for a date in a helicopter or a tank laughing hysterically?
I mean, seriously.
Kyle?
You had producers change the rule on the fly. So that didn't
pop. I only had one thing.
And burn vote.
Oh, burn vote. Okay, yeah, that didn't happen.
Well, theoretically, they didn't call it that, but that's what a soft vote was.
Yeah, stretch the rules during your time of quarantine.
It hits both. People. It hits both. It's a burn vote, and we're producing changing something on the fly.
Generous that you call this a production. Do you have a rule?
Oh, damn! I didn't think of one on the spot. You go first.
Okay, I thought you were supposed to be stalling for me, Brian.
I was just stalling by reading the results, not thinking.
Okay, well, while you're thinking of a rule, can you pull up iTunes? My iTunes won't search recently. I know we have two to read, and they're the first two and most recent. But when I hit RHAP, like they're like, nope, sorry, no shows.
Sure, I'll try to pull it up.
Okay, so first of all, I have to say I'm so mad at myself for not adding a rule last week. I guess we're only doing keepers. But the fact that Asaf is gone and I can't add somebody mispronounces his name, because even though people mostly got it right, TJ did say ass off and it was hilarious. So I think that would have been a great one. I'm going to add somebody says punch or punched or punches your ticket, because I do think we're going to get a lot of that and any iteration of that. Again, these are desperate times. Like, if somebody says cash your check to the final or punch your ticket or whatever, and I won't count earn your stripes, that's a different piece. But if anybody has like a cutesy expression for winning your way to the final, a la punched your ticket, enjoy.
Okay. I'm going to do anytime someone makes like a vote or decision based off something that happened from a prior season.
Okay. Now, do we get to count, like, would we count this because Johnny is voting based on a prior X on the Beach season, potentially, or it has to be confirmed?
Like, it has to be explicitly like, all right, this is from a feud. Like, if theoretically Rogan voted for Kyle, because apparently they added this monster feud last season, then that would have counted.
Okay, fine. All right, do you have the reviews?
I found the two. Yeah, I have Swagbot Waffle and Maya Taylor Cooper.
Wait, is that the person? Someone gave us a review, like, in December, like, after last season, in between.
Ooh, I have one from February 4th. Martine Vandesand?
Are we seeing the same reviews? I don't know, but thank you to those people. And if February you want... 4th,
March 24th, and 16 hours ago.
Oh, the 16 hours ago is new. I didn't see that.
Boom. That was Maya Taylor Cooper.
So thanks,
apparently I said in the mix a lot during our preview podcast, so...
You definitely say in the mix. Like, that's, I don't think that's new.
It's in the mix.
I think, Brian, I would do way better at a newly host game than you did dogging me out on the B&B.
I thought I came up with decent answers.
It was horrible. Like, the only one I got right was like, all right, Brian's going to say the most basic ass shit. And then that was the one I got right.
Well, I'm like Stassi. I'm a basic bitch. What can you say?
You don't know me at all. And then you're rude. You like picked the nonsensical answer and were like, oh, because she's dominant. The work that I've been putting in for the last few months to get you involved in RHAP, it's like, if I were so dominant over you, I would be like pushing you down and not lifting you up. You know, women helping women and co-hosts.
What, am I a woman?
How dare you? All right, you wish. Okay, let's get to the Twitter. Should be so lucky. Okay. I was so disgusted by that. Okay. Thank you to our C-Cubed, our digital, you know, I'm just going to say digital communications manager, Megan Elizabeth. We had a blast coming up with a new name. I have no idea. I have no idea what CCC stands for. I remember saying it, but, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So Bailey says, for all the women who have been through their share of terrible men who treat you like dirt, don't I know it, Brian? Know that when you find the one who doesn't, you will go to war for them. I am really only psycho when it comes to my man and my money. So pretty much my entire reality TV. My entire reality TV career. Is that the first time I haven't been able to finish a tweet because I've wanted to say what a great line that is? I'm really only psycho when it comes to my man and my money. What? That's a great line.
It is good. And then, t-shirt.
And then she used a gif of herself saying, I'm like a true Gemini. I will tell y'all like it's you. It's like you back me in a corner. And then it's like, look what you did, pal. Sorry, it was like hard to read the image. Great use of a gif of yourself. Ashley responded, you're an amazing human, but you know that you have to protect you and yours. I know you and your heart is kind and large. Heart emoji. That's all that matters. Welcome to Ashley's after school special. Okay.
So quick side note, is Ashley in Ecuador?
I'm sorry.
Cause that's like, I'm following along the email too. And that's the geotag.
Maybe.
Apparently Ashley's in Ecuador.
All right, Megan, we need this kind of news here. Oh, you didn't say what Kyle's suggestion was for the drinking game.
Oh, to add anytime someone says fiance.
I think that's good. Kyle, add your own little section for the drinking game. Okay.
Yeah, there are some fiances in the mix. So that's a good one.
Swaggy said, came in, period. Won the first few comps on Big Brother, period. Talk dirty, period. Got my ass sent home the very next week. Came on the challenge, period. Tried to understand art of shutting the F up, period. Let's see how long this lasts, LOL. Because if anybody knows me, .. y'all know my mouth. And then Bailey retweeted and said, I didn't get this memo, laugh dry emoji, facepalm emoji. Okay, can you interpret this tweet? I'm glad you're following along because I have no idea what the hell Swaggy means. Maybe Bananas was on Ridiculousness, but I still don't understand the tweet. Swaggy says, watching Ridiculousness, Bananas looks really good on TV. Dude is really put together, LOL. Damn near all facets of life. Really wise beyond his years. I F with him heavy. Which, like, no, Bananas is, like, wise to his years. He has several years on him. He's not, like, 25.
I guess Swaggy really likes Johnny. That's what I got out of this. Damn.
I consider
He thinks Johnny's a good-looking guy.
Really put together, LOL. I considered not including this because I thought it was, like, a spoiler. But I was like, this makes no sense. I'm going to include it.
No sense.
All right, another Swaggy is going to be the turbo of the season. Like, Swaggy's tweets are literally hilarious. I tried to edit. I could not. Swaggy says, after BB, I argued 24/7 with the haters, mostly white women above 35. For the challenge, I'm not arguing. Check my bank account and you'll see why. I don't care. Or go argue with the three assistants I just hired. Either or, I ain't got the time. Enjoy the show and shut the F up. Now, I just want to say it's probably like not a great time to be hiring people to work with you that closely, but I'm glad Swaggy is like increasing job growth. I hope they're paid assistants and not unpaid interns.
Hope so. Yeah.
But what is he? Three assistants. That's insane.
It's a lot of money management. Isn't that what he's doing? Teaching classes, pulling out those t-shirts. A lot of assistants.
I really think three assistants is overkill, but I'm happy for it. Maybe Bailey has one, Swaggy, and then like one for the household. I don't know. Okay. Jenna, Kayla says, if you have any cute screen. Oh, here. Oh, sorry. I have to prepare for this one. Kayla, our infamous I don't watch the show tweeter, is back with a vengeance, baby. Episode one. If you have any cute screen grabs of me from tonight's episode, please drop them below. I haven't watched it yet, and maybe I'm a narcissist. LOL, JK, but really. Are you kidding me?
She's the worst.
That's like, guys, if you could like write my best quotes from the podcast down and tweet them to me, that would be amazing. What the hell? Like, what is wrong with you? Whew. Okay. And then Jenna wrote, can I second that? LMAO of me, not Kayla, laugh cry emoji, which is somehow not as bad as the original tweet.
Yep.
Okay. And if anyone wanted to know why Asaf voted in Wes, even though we know that it was because Wes voted him in, but I don't give a single. Now, this is interesting. He asterisk.
This is hysterical.
I don't give a single asterisk, SH asterisk, it about strategy. See, he has not actually blocked out any of the word. I was calling out Wes because I could see him walking around talking to people. I ain't going to play this game safe of voting a rookie in just because he's new. There you have it.
There you go. He's not going to vote in rookie because he's a rookie.
Interesting thing we didn't get to see. A tweeter named Jack said, made me think, though. Was anything said with you and Kayla, you being to Mel, the first day slash night? Or did you just let the past be in the past? Needs to be in an elimination challenge match. And Mel said, the first day we pretty much avoided each other. After both being kicked off the first night in Final Reckoning, I think we wanted to get through at least one night of no fighting. X. All right, kind of boring.
Yeah. Good to know.
Bailey, and this really helped me get over the edge with Bailey. Like, she's very self-aware and fun. She said, I literally watched tonight's episode and was like, OMG, what a psycho, in reference to myself, left cry emoji. Well, this is me anytime I happen to listen to my own podcast, which is why I am not upset about anyone bashing me, because I am intense AF, exclamation point. I even was a little shook by my attitude, hashtag challenge. 35, but I'm entertaining. So shrug emoji and a Nicki Minaj gif. So we stand a self-aware queen. And then I will wrap it up with Wes, a tweet for the Times. He said, if bananas and I can get along, society can beat the coronavirus into submission. So let's hope that's true.
Let's do it.
And you have a plug, which we alluded to before. Jeremy Hamilton says, how has podcasting about the challenge prepared Brian to kick ass in the rap sequester mini?
Well, hopefully prepared me well, but probably not. But yeah, I'm doing something. I made a resolution. It took me about 100 days, and now I'm living it up. I'm doing something in the Rob as a Podcast community.
You've been in the mix. People don't know. You've been in the mix.
I've been in the mix.
I didn't even mean to say it like that, but you've been in the mix. We have some things we're working on. You're in the mix.
I've also dabbled. I've commented on a couple posts. I've done that. But that was fun. And now I'm doing the sequester thing on, I guess, tomorrow night, but when you hear this tonight, on, yeah.
You're out there, baby.
I'm out there.
I was hoping that we could like get some teasers of like we could preview it, like what do you think's gonna happen, any predictions, but I guess like technically this could drop and people could listen to it. But look, I know who's on the cast with you. Nobody listens to this podcast is on the cast. That's the truth. No, it's the truth. Nobody listens to it.
Phew.
And don't say I never did anything for you, because I think me appearing with you would have been the worst thing to happen to the game.
I would have been like the Amber to Rob. They would have took me out to cut you down.
Don't think I didn't say that. Let's see how Amber does without Boston Rob this season. I'm excited to hear what happens on that. Good luck, Brian. I'm rooting for you. We're all rooting for you here, and we'll all laugh about it because it definitely doesn't matter, but hopefully it'll be fun.
Definitely not. This is, sadly, would it be one of the most exciting things I would have done in the past month. So this is the state of the world.
That's pretty good. Like, considering what everybody else, what I've been doing, it's pretty good. No shame in that game. Yep. We also have an important announcement. The auction has happened. Thank you all for your insane support. It's truly wild. It's undeserved on our part, but it's definitely deserved for the cause. So thank you. I feel like it's gauche. The winning amount is gotten too high to even announce what it was, I feel like. It's become inappropriate to discuss that level of money on this podcast.
It's very generous.
So we really appreciate it. We can't believe it. We barely want to be here. We can't believe you want to be here. We love that you do, and we thank you. And we have sent an email to the winner. We look forward to having them on the podcast. I had a conversation with the head of the auction, and who was very grateful again for support of this community and of Brian View and myself, of course, obviously. And so we look forward to welcoming another person into the Drunk Aunt family. Some people have asked me, because you guys are lunatics and kind, and I don't understand why you spend time with us. Maybe it's Brian. But if you can donate to support the student-funded fellowships at Michigan, and you can, the link is very long. And me saying the link right now would not be helpful. So a couple of you have reached out to me. I'll try to track you down. If you're interested in donating and you want a shout out from me on the pod thanking you, DM me. My DMs are open for the link, and I will hit you with it. And we appreciate it. And we look forward to having a very fun podcast again. Last year was successful. Hopefully this year is even better.
Yeah. Keep one up in it.
That's it.
All right. That's episode one of the books. Subscribe. RobsWebsite.com/challengeiTunes. Follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Brian _. Go follow you.
I'm ashamed that I complain about the length of the challenge episode and we can't get this done in less than an hour and 30 ourselves.
Yeah.
You can follow me at Lash Tweets.
We'll be back next week for episode 2. Until then.
Wait. Have a good one. Did you tell people how they can watch? Nope. Did you tell people how they can watch the Sequester Mini? You got to like really plug it.
Oh.
I forgot.
I think it's like sequesteraccess.com. I'm not even 100% sure, but I think if you follow anyone in the Rob Has podcast community, they'll all be tweeting it out. So I think check it out. But I'm honestly not even 100% sure.
I'm not going to be tweeting it out, but I'm supporting you.
I think it's like Sequester Access. Thank you. I'll tweet it out too.
Show your support. And you know what? Really get into the DMs of the hosts who vote Brian out if they screw him. We'll do some organized. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone be nice. That's it.
Be nice to people. That's it.
Stay safe. Stay inside. Bye.